There are things you will see in a community where you just know.
Yeah, what's that? What do I know?
You know exactly how expensive this place is to live. You know how snooty the residents are.
Yeah.
How much that craft cocktail is going to cost you at the local bar.
Mm.
And it's way past how big the homes are or how fancy the cars are. Because one local town is making an improvement to something that seems kind of pointless. You just replace these, probably be less expensive.
Mm.
But someone in this room believes something like this really tells you how fancy and quaint a town actually is.
Oh.
You're hanging out in the break room, right? It's just Classic Rock 96.5, WCMF, the town of Brighton.
Brighton.
Are upgrading their historical streetlights.
Oh.
So I don't know if you noticed, if you drive through Brighton, they have old school
signs. You could almost tell the line from where you cross from like the city to Brighton or the next town over, like Henrietta to Brighton, based on these things.
It says ornate. Curly Q one.
Did you just use the word ornate, you bitch-ass bitch?
And you immediately knew what they looked like. Because I didn't really realize it until I saw the picture. I was like, oh, yeah, that is where you see them.
So when we say replacing them.
I appreciate a good light. A good lamp.
I'm going to talk to Kimmy now.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Long story short.
Yeah.
Now, they're still going to look old-timey the same way they did. Yeah. They're just going to have like modern guts.
Preserving
on the inside,
them.
Right?
Right. And LED.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Now, this feels like a nothing story because it kind of is a nothing story. Mm-hmm. But, Kimmy, you saw this story and you said something like this matters.
Well, I think you can tell how fancy a town is based on the thing, something as simple as the streetlights, because it seems like those towns, they value beauty over function.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, because they could have replaced those streetlights a long time ago and probably gotten something, you know, brighter, nicer, probably more just, again, functional. But, like, you got to preserve the history. You got to preserve, like, the quaintness, the aesthetic.
The you said it, quaint.
Yeah.
No, because you're right. Like, this is totally pointless. Not, I mean, no disrespect to Brighton, right? Like, fine.
Because I'm sure, like, I'm sure, like, those old lights.
Get a new light, for God's sake.
But they do look pretty.
Yeah,
they
like
nice. They add to the ambiance of the neighborhood.
Because
you come from you come from bleak.
You're talking about I come from bleak,
You come from Gates bleakness.
It's probably tougher.
You can't have anything like this nice in Gates. It means somebody's backyard over their above ground pool.
Yeah, it's a bug zapper.
You were saying, Kimmy?
I mean, because just based on the fact that this is a story, it's probably a pain in the ass to change those lights out.
Yeah,
and expensive.
Here's what a pain in the ass it is. Yeah. RG&E says they have to replace 650 lights over the next few years. Years.
That's just one guy
and
on
sure
a ladder.
That, like, just,
Larry, hurry up with the lights!
Just make it, like, putting in new modern lights is probably way easier, but you gotta, again, it's all about the look of it.
But you said when you see something like this, you know you are in a fancy, quaint, high-end town.
Yep.
Yes.
The second the streetlights change, you know you're in a different area. Mm-hmm.
All right, the phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Finish this sentence. When I see blank, I know I'm in a fancy, quaint, high-end town. And I'm not talking big houses, because every town has some big, fancy houses. We're not talking high-end restaurants, right? Because there are some nice places to eat in not-so-expensive communities. I'm not talking seeing Mercedes everywhere, because you can drive a car in any town. We're talking the little things, the details that only a town with the money and the time.
Yeah, and time is key.
And lack of problems would be able to worry about.
So what I notice all the time wherever I go, because Pittsburgh's got this all over the place.
Yeah.
It's pointless landscaping.
Oh, that's a good one.
So you'll see when, like, under the train trestle, they'll have, like, these beautiful, like, flower beds and shrubbery. And you'll see people, they had the guys out there weeding it, getting it ready for, like, the Memorial Day parade and the Labor Day parade. But there's, like, pockets of it all over town. And it's nobody notices it. You drive, you just whiz by it in your car.
Yep. It changes seasonally.
And the flower and the hanging flower baskets. They have them all, and then they switch them out to mums in the fall.
That's a really good one, because people don't understand how expensive that stuff is.
And somebody's got it. So there's a guy in the morning in Pittsburgh, when I get up and I drive out, he's on a tractor. It's 5 o'clock in the morning. He's got a gigantic water tank behind him. And his job every morning, is to water that stuff.
Is that a good job or a crappy job?
I think it's a great job.
Well, yeah, you think it's a great job because you're
no boss on your ass. Nobody else is getting up to check on you. Yeah, I watered it. Who knows? Maybe it's done. Like, the days it rains, you're off.
252 WCMF. Kimmy, Mm-hmm. When you see blank, you know you're in a fancy.
I think it's all about the lighting.
So the lighting for you.
Yeah,
it's
because
always the
I've even been to like those quaint towns too, where they have like the lights strung across the street, and then you know.
Yeah,
you got bank.
All right, I got
string
the
lights. That, you got bank.
That little main street.
I got the number one.
Yeah,
number one.
You know you're in a fancy, quaint, high-end town when there are an obnoxious amount of crosswalks. If you go into a town and there's a crosswalk every 25 feet, that is, because think about it this way. Like Pittsburgh, for God's sakes, you don't need that many crosswalks. So walk down the effing sidewalk.
Mm-hmm. So that would have to be a very walkable place,
but
too.
All of these towns are quaint and walkable.
Where you can stroll.
Pittsburgh, Fairport, Skinny Atlas, places like that. Like, you can't drive through the town because for some reason, the idea of walking 20 more feet down the sidewalk to cross the street is, it's incomprehensible. I would like to get to the Starbucks from the bakery, and I'm not going to walk that way, and then walk that way.
No, it's too much.
And then walk back that way. Like, the city of Rochester is a far more walkable place.
Yes.
And the amount of distance you have to travel to find a street corner to cross the street sometimes.
And then you got to run for your life.
It's ridiculous. Oh, here we go, Pittsburgh. I'm not going down there anymore.
So the other one we have in Pittsburgh.
What?
We have random dog bowls.
Oh, like community dog bowls.
Yeah, so like when you're walking your dog. So like there's water fountains that also, if you there's a foot pedal where you can fill the dog bowl for your dog. They're on Shone Place, and I think they're right in the town where we have basically communal dog bowls.
Is that safe for the dogs?
It's a dog. They lick the street puddle.
Oh, can I? Like, I can get a cold. Like, Kimmy just sneezed. Bless you. She's going to get me sick. Like, can a dog get a cold from another dog?
I don't think so. I don't know.
252 WCMF, 252-9263, with this story that Brighton is updating their historical streetlights, as in they're taking out the guts and putting in LED streetlights. Like, it's pointless, right? You can just upgrade the lights, period. It's probably going to be way less expensive, but it matters to a town like this. And Kimmy's right. Right? That's how you know you're in a quaint, fancy, high-end town, those bespoke lights. Mm.
So where my brother lives in Charleston, so they have the douchiest lights you could have.
What do they got?
Gas lamps.
Yeah, it's
It has a flickering flame.
Yeah, super
and
douchey.
They're all over the city. They also look super dangerous.
Yeah, how is that safe?
Because that's just like, how many gas lines does this town have?
That's a good question.
And like, if you want them for your house, you can have them. And the city controls the gas.
252 WCMF.
But it looks pretty cool.
252-9263. Folks are waiting on hold. Finish this sentence. When I see blank, I know I'm in a fancy, quaint, high-end town. Bob is on CMF. Bob, how's it going, buddy?
Not bad. So, Tommy took my first one, which is all the plants get watered.
Okay.
But I drive through Victor, and in Victor, they always have the entire town has decorations, like for the holidays or for something.
So you're saying like the town will decorate itself
like
for Christmas, Hanukkah, Halloween, things like that?
Yeah, exactly. And they're not like, businesses putting up the decorations. They're like
the
town decorations attached to signs or light poles or something.
Okay, I'm trying to think. Does every town do kind of stuff?
Yeah,
they do, but
here,
I think it depends how much. Yeah, it depends on like every town puts a little nativity scene up, right?
Okay.
Does Gates do one?
Actually,
they stole baby Jesus. I forgot.
Bob, thanks for the call. I appreciate
it. Yeah, he's adopted.
Joke's on you. Every front yard in Gates has a nativity scene, so who's laughing
now? I guess you really don't need it. I think, when you pull into a town, like that greeting, like they always have like that area to greet you.
The official town sign.
Yeah, like how ornate that is.
Because
Webster's got a really douchey one.
Bro.
It's on the side of a hill.
And it's made out of plants.
Yeah, you're right.
It's made out of plants.
Yes.
No, you're right, though. I mean, Webster is the king.
Like,
right?
Welcome to Webster. Get a load of us.
But like when you see like those hand-carved signs with like the gold inlay
on
the letters and stuff versus like the metal sign that says like welcome to Chi-Lai.
It's all rusty. It's got like salt stains splattered all over it.
252-WCMF. Rich, when I see blank, I know I'm in a fancy, quaint, high-end town. What is it?
It is pet boutiques. Because if you're in a low-rent town, you're not seeing dogs running around with hair ties and sweaters on.
Pet boutiques. I love how, by the way, what site are you on? Because you start with like, these people are douches. And then you go, low-rent town.
I live in Victor, so,
Well, okay, do you consider Victor...
A lot of dog sweaters out that way.
Do you consider Victor to be bougie, or do you consider it to be working class?
It is a mix of both, for sure.
Campaign, no, you got to go... Because, look, Canada... Okay. Hold on, Rich, I don't mean to cut you off.
Okay, let me put it this way, okay. When I grew up, it was a working class. Now it is bougie.
Oh, when you were there, it was real.
Yeah, I was part of the real Victor. My name was Rich.
I grew up in the 70s, so, you know, I'm up there in age, but nowadays it's all McMansion, so I got to go with bougie McMansion. These days.
He's hitting all the vocab words, man. Rich, thanks for the call, but I appreciate it. Low red McMansion.
I got another one.
What do you got?
And Webster's got a bunch. No, excuse me, Pittsburgh's got a lot of these.
Plaques?
Kind of.
Oh.
Dedicated benches.
Oh.
What do you mean by dedicated benches?
So it'll have a plaque, like people that spent money or... For that bench to be there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like that was like their favorite place. And I think they donate money to have their name on that bench. And
like
it'll be like a
memory
gold,
of.
Yeah, or... like a brass plate.
Oh, I know what
with their
about.
Names on the bench.
Yeah.
Okay. But that makes sense because the people in the money would have the town to blow or have the money to blow.
Blow
after,
on a bench.
Yeah. Bench blowing, which is one of your mother's favorite pastimes.
Well, she's got a plaque.
Yeah, well, no, she's got plaque all over her teeth from the
<That's cool>.
bench blowers. 252-WCMF, 252-926. We'll get back to the phones in a little while. We're talking about the itty-bitty little details. I know, when I see blank, I know I'm in a quaint, fancy, high-end town. Steven writes us on Instagram, when there's an obscene number of roundabouts.
Oh, like going up to Seabreeze.
Yeah, fancy. Well, okay, but here's... That's,
Seabreeze's got a ton.
Yeah, there are a lot of roundabouts. I mean, like, Brockport has a lot of roundabouts, don't they? I don't know if I associate that with, like... Fancy.
Yeah, because like I wouldn't look at like where like going out to Seabreeze, that's more of a working class area.
I mean, Henrietta Brighton kind of has that one going towards that diverging diamond thing that they built.
God, I mean, I've been trying
that
to
is use... one of the most confusing things I've ever seen.
I'm glad you said it because I've been using it for years and I still get nervous driving.
No, because you're driving all of a sudden, what is this, British rules? We're on the other side of the street, but it's working.
Steven, I'm going to say no to your stupid take on roundabouts. Because like roundabouts would be hard to do.
Yeah.
Because they're new. And
they're
like
modern,
yeah, these new towns don't add a lot of modern stuff.
Mm.
252-WCMF. Let's talk to Barber. Hey, Barber. How are you, buddy?
Morning, guys. How about if your village is able to afford to keep rebuilding a bare water fountain?
Oh, yeah.
All right, hold on. Let's talk about that.
Water fountains in general?
Do you consider Geneseo a bougie town?
Nah, it's the college. If it didn't have the college... You know, maybe they would concentrate more on their arts fair and stuff like that. But,
okay. Because like, I lived in Geneseo for like 2 years. I mean, it's a nice place. I liked it. I didn't really consider it bougie.
No.
Right?
No. I mean, there's a lot of country out that way, too.
Yeah, they've gone country.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if they had a gas light above that bear every time it gets hit?
Don't give them any ideas.
You know when it's hit.
Barber, thanks for the call, buddy. Have a good rest of the day. I got a good one.
What's that?
And it's a very subtle change. Mm. When you go to a town, if they have a thrift store, it's working class.
Mm.
If they have an antique store, it's bougie.
Okay.
And they're the same store.
Yeah.
It's the same store.
So it's a sign.
It's a very subtle difference. That's it. Because
it's the difference between a wino and an alcoholic.
Exactly. Like Pittsburgh would not stand for a thrift store on Main Street.
Right.
But if you were to put in an antique store, those douches would be all over it. Am I wrong?
No, you're right.
Like, cause there's so Skinny Atlas. My wife loves going to Skinny Atlas, right? And me and the kids will go there. In fact, my daughter's got a hockey game there this weekend. We got to go on Saturday.
Yeah.
And there is an antique store in Skinny Atlas. That is just packed full of people.
But it's like upstairs, downstairs, yes.
But it's all junk.
Yeah.
And I love it because I love junk.
Creaky.
Yeah.
Creepy, yes.
But like you see these millionaire people walking through this place. Ooh. It's the same stuff inside the VOA or the Salvation Army or Goodwill. But
or
because,
a yard sale.
Yeah, because it says antique store over the top. We have to go into the antique store.
So the other thing I was thinking of, Pittsburgh's got this too.
Well, yeah, it's got all of
them. I know. You could just think to what you pass every day on your way in.
I don't know how to describe it, but calling it a pointless pocket park.
Pocket park?
Like a park within the village?
But it'd be just like a little area that'd be like four benches, a lamp, and some landscaping in the middle of nowhere where you wouldn't go and sit.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like a little park, and it can't be any bigger than this studio. But it's well-maintained. I never see anybody sitting there, even old farts, but it's and they redo it all the time.
You know, when I see those, I always assume, like, you know, towns, villages have budgets.
Yeah.
Like, one year, they were like, crap, we have too much money, and if we don't spend it, we're going to have to not use it next
year. Right. That's got to be it.
All right, well, look. I mean, all of these things we're making fun of. You're right. When you put them all together, it does make a town seem more warm and homey and nice.
Yeah.
But, like, when you break them down individually, none of them serve a point. There's no purpose in any of them.
Well, it makes you... It is pretty.
Oh, she's made who lives... If you didn't live in Pittsburgh... If you didn't live in Pittsburgh, you'd be sit right next to me killing this stuff, too, on your way to the antique store.
Or the gazebo. Or the gazebo outlet.
The Bills and Jets went at it on the field Monday night.
Mm.
But it turns out that battle raged on again into Tuesday. Because for some reason, both of these teams seem to think they are legitimate Super Bowl contenders. And they made major moves yesterday to put one of them over the other. One of those moves, Tommy, was a massive mistake. But the other, while a better idea, may not be the best idea either.
Oh, why?
You're hanging out in the break room. Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. Okay, so we'll go through this the way that it happened yesterday.
All right.
Around 10:45, just after we got off the air, major NFL news.
What happened?
The Jets traded a conditional third-round pick, which could become a second, to the Las Vegas Raiders for wide receiver Devontae Adams.
So he was the big... thing we were talking about trying to get, right?
So there were like six teams that were rumored to be in on Devontae Adams. Now, for those who don't know, Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams played together for eight seasons in Green Bay.
Oh, and so they're tight.
Yeah, they had a lot of success. Aaron Rodgers calls Tay one of his best friends in the NFL. Adams wanted out of Vegas. Rodgers wants to play with his buddy.
Mm-hmm.
And the Jets, despite being 2-4 and having a brand new head coach, still think they are a Super Bowl contender. So they got this trade done. And it is a laughably bad idea for the Jets.
Costs them quite a bit.
Yeah. No, okay, the Jets have problems, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
Their offensive line is terrible. Devontae Adams can't block. Their coaching staff is a tire fighter. Devontae Adams does wear a headset. The Jets can't stop the run. Devontae Adams doesn't tackle. The Jets quarterback can't move. Devontae Adams isn't bringing with him a new pair of legs. And what's funny, Kimmy, is the only place the Jets seem to be okay, and we watched it happen on Monday night, was at wide receiver.
Yeah, that didn't seem to be their biggest issue.
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers threw for almost 300 yards. They had two wide receivers go over 100 on Monday night.
Right.
And this does not fix any of your problems.
But he gets what he wants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it made him happy. But I guess...
Hold on, to Tommy's point, I'm sorry, Kimmy. Most importantly... The Jets have done everything Rodgers has wanted so far.
Because he's running the show.
But it's been a nightmare. It keeps getting worse and worse. So why do you keep doing it?
Keep him happy? I don't know.
Well, yeah, and I would think, like, at this point, there's so many unknowns on your team just based on the whole coaching situation. Like, what do you... I mean, I guess you could make the argument you're starting fresh here. You're going to build on this.
Starting fresh at 2-4?
Right. So I don't know. I don't know if it was worth it. We'll find out.
Okay, so huge NFL news, big trade done for the day, right?
Wrong,
bitch!
What happened?
Just a few hours later, the Bills jump into the wide receiver game. They traded a third-round pick to the Cleveland Browns for wide receiver Amari Cooper. Last year, with a carousel QB situation in Cleveland, he was the best deep ball receiver statistically in the NFL, and that's exactly what the Bills need right now.
He's the man.
This season, there has been horrible quarterback play in Cleveland with Deshaun Watson.
He just fell apart, right?
Yeah, for those of you who don't believe karma's real. Mm. So his numbers are down this year, Amari Cooper's. Mm. The idea, I guess, is if you now pair him with Josh Allen, who's having a very efficient season, he becomes the wide receiver he was before. The problem is... One, he's 30 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And two, you're getting him for only a guaranteed 11 games the rest of this season.
Yeah.
That's all he's signing for?
Well, yeah, his contract is up at the end of this year. Kimmy?
Yeah.
Are you in on what the Bills did yesterday?
I'm in. I think people saw that there were some issues going on offensively. And I think that the Bills did the best they could to bring in some help.
Hey, was there anybody else out there?
I mean, it was Adams, but you weren't going to pay what they wanted.
And I also think having a guy like Amari Cooper on the field, even if he's not super productive, it's going to help other guys. You know what I mean? Like, it'll help this whole everybody eats mentality because it's going to open up other guys on the field.
Okay. All right. The phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. And I may need some of you Bills fans out there listening here because I'm not going to lie to you. I don't love this idea.
But don't they need something?
Yes. I think that they do.
They thought they do. They think they do. So they went out and made this move. But I'm not in love with it.
Mm.
Couple of reasons.
Right.
One, it is very rare that you see a wide receiver come in the middle of a season and make a difference. NFL offenses are very complicated. He doesn't have any kind of rapport with Josh Allen. He's never played with him before.
Yeah, but I mean, catch the goddamn
but you,
ball.
But you have not a whole, yeah, and you have a whole group of guys that are new to this offense.
Which was my argument that you need to give it time to make it all come together.
Yeah, but now you have like this veteran in there, which you didn't have before.
Yeah, you can't run little Ray's legs off all season. That kid's going to be dead by the end of the year.
James Cook is the starting running back.
Yeah, but that other kid was phenomenal.
Yeah, he was, but they're going to split
and
time.
And his dad was on the sideline. Right? His dad looks like he could play. Get that guy in there.
Are you talking about Frank Gore?
You're talking about Frank Gore Jr. Ray Davis was the one who was had to be adopted.
Yeah.
I thought there was like some father down there.
Frank Gore, yeah. Who played for the Bills.
They pulled Frank Gore Jr. up from the practice.
Oh, I thought that was his dad.
No.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, no, you're only our football expert. It's okay. No big deal.
Well, I don't know every side guy.
No, all you had to do was listen to what they were saying.
Well, he's got adopted dad.
Kimmy, okay, you do your fault. I can't think of the last NFL receiver that was traded
mid-season. They can't be that hard to start catching a goddamn ball.
Name me one receiver in the last 10 years that had a massive impact.
I don't know.
Okay, that's my fear.
So you're telling me this kid, he's going to start, right?
Well, yeah, I mean,
Tennessee, he's playing.
No, you may need a week to get him into the system.
A week?
You're kidding me.
Get dressed.
Get dressed.
Jesus Christ, man. It's a goddamn game.
You've done this for 30
years.
You
launch in a space shuttle.
You've done this for 30 years, and you come in every day, and you don't know what you're doing. And you want a guy to learn an entire
dressed,
NFL
I'm
offense.
Ready to go.
You're barely dressed. What do you call those boots? What are you going to go do? Plant apple trees across America for people to write songs about you later with a pot as a hat?
Tommy Appleseed.
That's not Appleseed.
Tommy Appleseed.
That's Davy Crockett.
Holy song I know.
My other issue.
Yeah.
Do they have to change the offense to make this work? And if they do, how does that throw everything off? Because you're going to now be putting guys who played one position all season since training camp in different spots to put Amari Cooper in the spot that he needs to be in. Does it take a couple of weeks for that to work? And if so, are you going to have an underperforming offense against teams? These next four games, the Bills should win. The Bills should be at 8-2 by the time we get to Kansas City. That scares me. But my biggest issue here.
What's the big issue?
And again, I don't hate it, but I don't love it.
What's the issue?
Trading a third-round pick for Amari Cooper. I know that most people don't really care about a third-round pick.
Yeah.
Well, there's just no guarantee.
Okay, but as close as you're going to get to a guarantee, you get it with Brandon Bean as your general manager because for whatever reason, in the second, third, and fourth round, he is really good. Let me just run down a couple of third-round picks for you. Ready?
All right.
Teron Johnson. Best nickel corner in the league, third-round pick. Dawson Knox, tight end, third-round pick. Spencer Brown, your starting right tackle, just got a massive contract, third-round pick. Terrell Bernard, heart of the defense right now, third-round pick. Dorian Williams, your other starting linebacker and the guy that'll take over when Milano leaves, third-round pick.
Yeah.
You but also
that's
single,
all you got.
Singletary and, not Frank Gore. Now you got me doing it. Singletary and Zach Moss, two guys that played well for Buffalo when they were here.
Yeah.
Both third-round picks.
Yeah, but how long does it take a guy to get to that level? I mean, that guy's not going to come in most of the time and immediately be a game changer.
You already got all these guys.
And how long are you going to wait to find Josh that help? You're going to rely on draft picks to do that?
I
mean, that could be years.
Look, I understand.
That's going to be 50.
I understand what you're saying. But the point that I'm making is you're going to get... You've gotten 7 years out of Teron Johnson. You've gotten 6 years out of Dawson Knox. You're going to get 10 years out of Spencer Brown. Maybe 7 years out of Terrell Bernard. You're going to get 11 games out of Amari Cooper.
But if you win now, isn't it worth it?
Does he immediately help you? To the point where you can win a Super Bowl.
I think he's more of a guarantee than a draft pick next year.
But hold on. Don't you need something for the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
He's going to need somebody
for
the playoffs.
You're just going to toss up this year like, well, maybe we'll put a we'll work with what we have. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work.
Now,
that's not the right mentality to go with.
No, but my point is he would definitely be ready for the playoffs.
He'll play. If he doesn't play on Sunday, he plays next week.
No, I'm saying by the playoffs, he should be like in the groove with Josh.
If
it's going to work.
If he meshes well with this offense.
But if it's going to work,
yes.
I mean, by the time you get to Kansas City, you should be looking pretty good.
Look, that's ideal. What you're saying is ideal, right?
But I'm with Kimmy.
The Bills signed Curtis Samuel in the offseason, and Bills fans got really excited. I mean, he was an under-the-radar wide receiver, but Kimmy, had folks saying this is the best quarterback he'll ever play with, and he's a guy that can get loose, and you don't know what the Joe Brady's going to be able to do with him, and he's disappeared.
People were all that excited about Curtis Samuel. I think it's like, oh, okay, we'll throw him in there. It wasn't going to be like a top guy for you.
I am very scared. Because here's the thing. With the expectations Bills fans now have after that move yesterday, and again, we're talking about the two major trades made yesterday, Jets and Bills. Jets trade for Davante Adams, third-round pick. That could become a second. By the way, quick sidebar. Right. Here's how delirious the Jets are. There's a condition on the third-round pick that it becomes a second-round pick if the Jets make the AFC Championship game or the Super Bowl.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say that again.
All right. This is the deal that they cut.
Yes, it's third-round pick that becomes a second-round pick if the Jets make the AFC Championship.
If they have the success they were hoping for.
Or the Super Bowl. You're 2-4. You're 2.5 games out of first place in the AFC East. You've got a coach that has one game of experience. And that was a deal you made with Davante Adams.
I mean, I wonder, because I guess I didn't see much reaction from Jets fans. I don't know if they're upset with this, if they're thrilled, or if they're just like, oh, great, the Jets made another stupid move.
Oh, no. All the Jets fans yesterday, because I was Petty LaBelle yesterday, I got super snarky on Twitter. Yeah. Super snarky about Davante Adams. And I just got Kimmy. All these Jets, you'll see, man. You don't even know, man.
So they're all jacked for this trade.
And like, here's the thing. It makes your team a little bit better, right? Like, he's a good player, right? And Amari Cooper will probably make the Bills a little bit better. I'm just talking risk versus reward. The risk of the player that you're losing, the reward that becomes Amari Cooper. And I'll even go personal here. Mm. Like, with the Bills. The Bills traded a first-round pick to the Minnesota Vikings for Stephon Diggs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that worked out great for the Bills, right? Up until this point, Stephon Diggs, arguably one of the best. He's a top three wide receiver in Bills history.
Mm-hmm.
But that first round pick for the Vikings became Justin Jefferson, who is the best receiver in the NFL. And it worked out for both teams, and it's great. But there is a universe, Kimmy, where the Bills keep that first round pick, and you have Josh Allen and Justin Jefferson playing on the same team for a decade. Would you have rather had if you knew what Justin Jefferson was going to become, would you have rather taken 6 years of Stephon Diggs or 10 years of Justin Jefferson?
I'm very confused by what you just said.
Never mind. Everybody
but
else.
But you're talking a guarantee again. Like,
no, but that's why I don't like this play.
But don't you think every year that you squander Josh Allen's talent, this team is going to get more and more desperate in these trades because time's running out on that kid?
Oh, no. I disagree with that. Because
life catches up with your ass. I mean, you can't play at that level forever.
But it's what you guys are saying.
And the way he plays, too.
Right. He plays wild.
But it's what you guys
wild
are saying.
Child.
Win now. Guarantee. Don't waste. This isn't a guarantee.
You don't think they improved by making this move?
I want to see.
But the clock's ticking, baby.
I want to see what he looks like
in
this offense.
You were
going
to rely on Mac Hollins to get you to the freaking, playoffs?
Two touchdowns on the same route in five games.
TikTok, Clarice. Time's running out.
And what you guys are doing is my biggest fear.
What, Hannibal Lecter?
I
am scared of Hannibal Lecter, yes.
I just feel like they improved. I think it's going to help.
Okay.
I don't see how it's a detriment.
Okay. Amari Cooper, let's say he does make them better, which I think he does make them better. Does he make them a legitimate Super Bowl contender?
More than they were before.
Okay, but that's the difference, right? Because if you go on Twitter yesterday and you look at Bills fans, it's a slam dunk now. It's a guarantee. Both of you, I'm excited. Here we go.
Yeah.
Let's say he marginally improves the offense, which would be better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Bills fans are going to hate him. Look what happened with Nyheim Hines when he didn't have much of an effect. Look what happened with Kelvin Benjamin when they traded for
him.
That's
a different story.
No, I mean like when they first traded for him
in
that season.
And he had what are you talking about? Nyheim Hines had that kickoff return. Like when he was
in a game that didn't matter.
When he was here, he didn't even get into a groove yet before he got hurt. I wouldn't call him he was a bust because of the injury, but I don't think it was performance-wise.
Is he the one that got hurt on the water?
That people were upset about.
Yes, no, they were. Kimmy, go back and read Twitter about the performance and usage during the season that he was here for.
Well, everybody's going to bitch about everything.
Right, put that on a shirt.
I hope you're right.
I'm on Team Kimmy.
I want to believe in what you're saying, Kimmy. I want my Bills fandom to take over, and this is a great move. And maybe 4 weeks from now, 5 weeks from now, I look
all
like
be 11.
I'm an idiot, and I want to be an idiot here. Mm. But this makes me very nervous because it's something we don't see the Bills do on a regular basis. So they
maybe this is what they need, a little pop.
It either means
what do you mean? This has kind of been Brandon Bean's MO.
Last year, they had to trade for Rasul Douglas because Tre'Davious White got hurt.
Right. That's but I'm saying like he's not afraid to make moves. I mean, that's how they got Stephon Diggs.
In the offseason. I'm talking about midseason trade.
Talking bean balls, buddy.
Shut up.
Beanie balls.
Shut up.
Grow you some beanie balls, boy.
What are you talking about?
I never
Beans got balls.
Bean. Yeah.
Beanie balls.
I think he's always capable of at least one surprise a season.
No, yes, you're right. But is it a good surprise or a bad surprise?
So far, it's kind of worked out for him.
No, but here's the thing. I name third rounders that he's hitting on, and you go, meh. And I go, name the surprises, and you go, so far it's worked out. I don't think Hines worked out. I think Douglas has. We know Kelvin Benjamin didn't. Those are all in-season trades. I don't like it. I don't love the in-season trade idea. I don't love it. Just saying. I hope I'm wrong.
Okay. We always do.
At minimum, this. At minimum, this. If you are a Bills fan that yesterday saw this trade and jumped up and down, it was pumping their fists. Yeah, we're a different offense now. We're a different team. At minimum, temper your expectations.
Don't overreact.
He's not Jesus, man. He's not going to come in, walk on water, and catch 30 touchdowns before the season's over. Temper your expectations.
But he might be that little spark you need.
You thought...
Beanballs.
You thought Frank Gore was Ray Davis's father 10 minutes ago, and I'm going to listen to what you have to say.
I think he's been like a daddy to him.
Let's take a break.
Right.
Yeah, there are unintended consequences of moves that make sense.
Okay.
Right, like the legalization of recreational marijuana made sense, right? But it could also increase other illicit drugs because folks selling drugs need to make money.
You got
to
move some product, Ben.
And that could be what we're looking at here.
So what's coming in now?
You're hanging out in the break room, Monsters Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. Over the past couple of weeks, the Border Patrol in Canada says they have confiscated 20 pounds of magic mushrooms trying to come across the Canadian border. So I'm not a mushroom connoisseur. Mm-hmm. Is 20 pounds a lot of magic mushrooms? Because they look light.
I would think, probably a lot.
20 pounds? But I wonder how much space 20 pounds of mushrooms takes up.
Well, so they actually came in through chocolate. Mm. And not like hidden in chocolate, but it sounds like
laced. So it's chocolate laced with mushrooms?
Yeah, it's got mushrooms in it, at least according to the story.
Okay. Hot chocolate.
So that could... That would make it heavier then, so that may be not as much as we think.
But I don't know if it means like the mushrooms themselves were...
Or the whole thing was... Yeah.
The bottom line is, we know the street value of the drugs is estimated to be $165,000. So the Border Patrol in this story is giving the impression that there are more shrooms coming over than in previous years.
Mm.
Did you say shrooms are legal in Canada?
No, they are not.
They're not.
It's acid.
Okay.
That's right. But even when marijuana...
So it's a risk on both sides.
Yes, and even when marijuana was illegal in Canada, which is now legal, there was still a ton of marijuana coming in from the north.
But that I'm saying, I guess I would have understood at the time, because it's being produced there so much, you know? Whereas this, if it's legal on both sides of the border, I don't know.
So now that marijuana is legal recreationally in New York, and you have to go further south to ship illegal marijuana over the border, which means you're increasing your risk in doing
it. Sure.
Is this happening because folks that are selling drugs are looking to make money with something else?
Yeah.
And I'm asking
sincerely. I would think. You got to branch out, right?
252 WCMF.
You got to diversify. Your, yes. Give me some fungi, buddy.
You did so good yesterday. Did you just burn it out yesterday? Are we out?
What's wrong with fun
guy? No, you're nailing it.
You don't have to delay it.
No, that's true.
I mean, so again, I am naive when it comes to the shroom world. Are you?
The last time I did it was summer school with that kid.
Okay, so yeah, you're naive to it. Kimmy, have you ever done shrooms?
And I don't know if it's more potent now than when it was then.
Everything is. Everything's more potent these days.
I mean, I had a roommate that did... But he never had a lot of it. Like, it was always like he took one and he was good for a while.
Okay. So, 252 WCMF. Are more people doing shrooms now than they used to?
Yeah, looking for a different buzz, I guess.
Right, but here's the problem. Yeah. Because, you stereotype people, what a person who does a certain drug looks like.
Yeah.
Like, you think you know what a hardcore marijuana smoker looks like.
I sure do.
She's got blonde hair. She's wearing a Rose Apothecary sweatshirt. Yes. She works on a radio show.
Mm-hmm.
You think you know what a guy who uses cocaine on a regular basis looks like.
Mm-hmm.
I can't profile a shroom user right now. I don't know what that looks like. Because in your head, you have those guys that, listen to the Dead, right? Like, okay.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. But, there's more than that. Are these younger people experimenting?
Yeah, because I thought the whole like microdosing thing kind of stemmed from shrooms.
Yeah.
So that could be people just going to their, you know, 9 to 5 every day, putting some in, you know, taking a little bit with their coffee in the morning. I don't know.
So the people I know that do it now are in their 40s.
Okay.
So, and have good jobs.
Okay.
The couple I know.
Okay.
And you would never think that of them. You can see
I love how your brain works so poorly that you have to start talking the slowest ever to not accidentally say their name out loud.
They look like they party, but not like that. They look like they have, like, you know, booze.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
I get what you're saying. And then there's also the possibility you got people over 50 and 60 going back to that stuff now because they have less responsibility.
And they know what it's like. They know what the high is like, and they enjoyed it.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. Yeah. As we talk about these shrooms coming over the border, according to Border Patrol in Canada over the last couple of years. Yeah.
It's exciting.
You say you're pro-marijuana legalization.
Yeah, I'm pro-drug.
Yeah, okay. But then when you find out somebody smokes pot, you get all judgy on them.
I'm also a hypocrite. Okay. I'm also pro-hypocrite.
I know how you feel about folks that smoke. Mm. If you found out that a like buttoned up person that works here was doing shrooms on a regular basis, would that change your opinion of them?
Sure.
Why? You just said you know people who do this.
Yeah, but they're kind of like cool. Like if you're a stiff and you're doing this stuff, like if you're like anti everything, but then you secretly do it, we know those people.
That is also you.
No.
You're pro everything, but secretly anti. You're the opposite of that guy.
I like to mock. And I like to judge people.
No, it ain't just mocking, man. I know your face. You look at people that are potheads and like to smoke. Bum ass. Reefer man is going to eat a baby on 2 pieces of bread.
Stay away from the microwave and that baby.
Like, I mean, it's funny. Like, maybe people just kept shrooms quiet because maybe it was like a different kind of person doing the drug.
Yeah.
Like it was a more like suburban, middle class kind of thing. But every other drug, I have an idea of what that person is. I can look at someone and be like, I think you do that. No idea with shrooms.
I would think a lot of organic people probably have tried it. And maybe even try to raise them themselves and do it.
Wait, you think people that shop at like Lori's Natural Foods also do shrooms?
Well, them ads, man, they got a bunch of dancing fruit. Well, I thought I was eye watching
that
stuff.
I take it back. You have a stereotype in your head. You think everybody that eats granola does shrooms?
I think I could talk him into it.
Okay.
I think if I go down to the organic aisle in Wegmans, I could talk half of them, those goddamn Lululemon mamas, into getting high.
Lululemon mamas sounds like
that's
a Big Bopper song.
No.
Hello, baby. You want some mushrooms with the Big Bopper?
Elvis came over his shoulder.
I got a duck face, baby.
Before I heard about like microdosing shrooms, I always assumed people who did shrooms would set aside time to do shrooms where they didn't go out of the house.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like I never pictured somebody on shrooms to be out and about all that much.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. That's why I've never tried it. I'm too scared. I don't know what I don't want to unlock what is in this head.
Yeah, I was 12, 13. It was fun.
And look what happened to you.
It wasn't a bad day.
Don't encourage people.
I'm not encouraging. I can't give an opinion.
252. Nobody
There's
asked.
Good people on both sides.
252 WCMF. Again, story, the Border Patrol up near I believe it was the Peace Bridge. They said over the last couple
Perfect
of weeks.
Perfect bridge.
15 different shipments, an estimated $165,000 worth of shrooms in chocolate have come over the border.
Happy candy.
Thinking out loud, is this because the legalization of marijuana in New York is other people are trying to make money with other drugs? Mm-hmm. Let's talk to Will. Hey, Willie. How are you, brother?
Hi, I'm Pat Duffy, and I'm scared to eat a little bit of magic mushroom because my dad was a cop, and I'm a little bitch.
It's nothing to do with cop. Bro, I have to be alone with my thoughts when I'm not inebriated. I don't want to know what's going to happen with the shrooms, Will.
Probably wouldn't be a good thing.
Will, are you a guy that does this?
No, and this is a reflection of the pussification of America and the legalization of drugs, and we're allowing things like this to just become normal and microdosing. And I smoke pot, and I'm an advocate for weed, but this is not a good idea because we already have a hard enough time driving as it is, so let's just let somebody eat some mushrooms on a
Wait a minute, time out. Hold on, time out.
And then have that take
time
ready
out.
To go.
That
after.
Was the bitch. That was the bitchiest bitch. And Will, I mean, you're being a massive hypocrite. Now, I understand what
no,
you're
he's
coming
not a hypocrite.
From.
He got his drug, so he's fine.
But okay, here's what
I mean, people would say the same thing about marijuana, though. Will.
They do. They
yeah.
do say
I
the
mean,
same thing.
Like, that's a lot of people's fear with pot. Like, I know you're cool with it, but that what would you say to people that say the same thing about people who use marijuana?
That marijuana is literally a plant and
not like a mushroom.
Mushroom is not a plant. It's a fungus.
Okay. Okay. Well, this is the most I want to be cool, but I'm secretly a young old man bitch ass take I've ever heard in my life.
That makes no sense, but okay.
All right.
Well, I got my working man weed. That's right. The way it is. So.
I want to get inebriated in my way, but if you want to do it in your way, I disagree with that. The South's going to do it again. Will, thanks for the call, buddy. Have a good rest of the day. Boy, I just want to make sure we're all on the same page here.
I didn't see the call going that way.
He called me to bitch voice me because I've never done shrooms.
Mm. Yep.
He then admits he's never done shrooms. Follows that up with that he's anti-shrooms, and this is the pussification of America.
But
he smokes pot.
Mm-hmm, but he's happy it's now legal.
Yeah, but because pot is legal, which we talked about, may be causing these to come in more because people need to make money, which would be a direct result of what he got. Yeah. What the hell?
He got his drugs, so he's happy with that. And so we end it here.
Okay.
I think that's his point.
I think we should end this discussion here.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, there are unintended consequences of moves that make sense.
Okay.
Right, like the legalization of recreational marijuana made sense, right? But it could also increase other illicit drugs because folks selling drugs need to make money.
You got to move some product back.
And that could be what we're looking at here.
So what's coming in now?
You're hanging out in the break room, Monsters Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. Over the past couple of weeks, the Border Patrol in Canada says they have confiscated 20 pounds of magic mushrooms trying to come across
Damn.
The Canadian border. So I'm not a mushroom connoisseur.
Mm-hmm.
Is 20 pounds a lot of magic mushrooms? Because they look light.
I would think,
Seems
yeah.
Like it.
Probably a lot.
20 pounds? Like, but I wonder how much space 20 pounds of mushrooms takes up.
Well, so they actually came in through chocolate. Mm-hmm. And not like hidden Ooh. In chocolate, but it sounds like
laced. So it's chocolate laced with mushrooms?
Yeah, it's got mushrooms in it, at least according to the story.
Okay. Hot chocolate.
So that could... Stop that would that. Make it heavier then, so that may be not as much as we think.
But I don't know if it means like the mushrooms themselves were...
Or the whole thing yeah. was...
The bottom line is, we know the street value of the drugs is estimated to be $165,000. So the Border Patrol in this story is giving the impression that there are more shrooms coming over than in previous years.
Mm.
Did you say shrooms are legal in Canada?
No, they are not.
They're not?
No, they're
okay,
not
legal. Okay.
No.
It's acid.
Okay.
That's right. But so even when marijuana...
So it's a risk on both sides.
Yes, and even when marijuana was illegal in Canada, which is now legal, there was still a ton of marijuana coming in from the north.
But that, I'm saying, I guess I would have understood at the time, because it's being produced there so much, you know? Whereas this, if it's legal on both sides of the border, I don't know.
So now that marijuana is legal recreationally in New York, and you have to go further south to ship illegal marijuana over the border, which means you're increasing your risk in doing it.
Sure.
Is this happening because folks that are selling drugs are looking to make money with something else?
Yeah.
And I'm asking
sincerely. I would think. You got to branch out, right?
252 WCMF.
You got to diversify.
Your,
yes. Give me some fungi, buddy.
You did so good yesterday. Did you just burn it out yesterday? Are we out?
What's wrong with fun
guy? No, you're nailing it.
You don't have to delay it.
No, that's true.
I mean, so again, I am naive when it comes to the shroom world. Are you? Like,
I remember the last time I did it was summer school with that kid.
Okay, so yeah, you're naive to it. Kimmy, have you ever done shrooms?
And I don't know if it's more potent now than when it was then.
Everything is. Everything's more potent these days.
I mean, I had a roommate that did... But he never had a lot of it. Like, it was always like he took one and he was good for a while.
Okay. So, 252 WCMF. Are more people doing shrooms now than they used to?
Yeah, looking for a different buzz, I guess.
Right, but here's the problem. Yeah. Because, like, you stereotype people what a person who does a certain drug looks like.
Yeah.
Like, you think you know what a hardcore marijuana smoker looks like.
I sure do.
She's got blonde hair. She's wearing a Rose Apothecary sweatshirt. Yes. She works on a radio show.
Mm-hmm.
You think you know what a guy who uses cocaine on a regular basis looks like.
Mm-hmm.
I can't profile a shroom user right now. I don't know what that looks like. Because in your head, you have those guys that, like, listen to the dead, right? Like, okay.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. But, like, there's more than that. Are these younger people experimenting?
Yeah, because I thought the whole like microdosing thing kind of stemmed from shrooms.
Yeah.
So that could be people just going to their, you know, 9 to 5 every day, put some in, you know, taking a little bit with their coffee in the morning. I don't know.
So the people I know that do it now are in their 40s.
Okay.
So, and have good jobs.
Okay.
The couple I know.
Okay.
And you would never think that of them. You can see that.
I love how your brain works so poorly that you have to start talking the slowest ever to not accidentally say their name out loud.
No, you would not. They look like they party, but not like that. They look like they have, like, you know, booze.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
I get what you're saying. And then there's also the possibility you got people over 50 and 60 going back to that stuff now because they have less responsibility.
And they know what it's like. They know what the high is like, and they enjoyed it.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. Yeah. As we talk about these shrooms coming over the border, according to Border Patrol in Canada over the last couple of years. Yeah.
Well, it's exciting.
You say you're pro-marijuana legalization.
Yeah, I'm pro-drug.
Yeah, okay. But then when you find out somebody smokes pot, you get all judgy on them.
I'm also a hypocrite. Okay. I'm also pro-hypocrite.
I know how you feel about folks that smoke. Mm. If you found out that a like buttoned up person that works here was doing shrooms on a regular basis, would that change your opinion of them?
Sure.
Why? You just said you know people who do this.
Yeah, but they're kind of like cool. Like if you're a stiff and you're doing this stuff, like if you're like anti everything, but then you secretly do it, we know those people.
That is also you.
No.
You're pro everything, but secretly anti. You're the opposite of that guy.
I like to mock. And I like to judge people.
No, it ain't just mocking, man. I know your face. You look at people that are potheads and like to smoke. Bum ass. Reefer man is going to eat a baby on 2 pieces of bread.
Stay away from the microwave and that baby.
Like, I mean, it's funny. Like, maybe people just kept shrooms quiet because maybe it was like a different kind of person doing the drug.
Yeah.
Like it was a more like suburban, middle class kind of thing. But every other drug, I have an idea of what that person is. I can look at someone and be like, I think you do that. No idea with shrooms. No
I would think a lot of organic people probably have tried it. And maybe even try to raise them themselves and do it.
Wait, you think people that shop at like Lori's Natural Foods also do shrooms?
Well, them ads, man. They got a bunch of dancing fruit. Well, I thought I was eye watching that stuff.
I take it back. You have a stereotype in your head. You think everybody that eats granola does shrooms?
I think I could talk him into it.
Okay.
I think if I go down to the organic aisle in Wegmans, I could talk half of them, those goddamn Lululemon mamas, into getting high.
Lululemon mamas sounds like a Big Bopper song.
No. Hello, baby. You want some mushrooms with the Big Bopper?
It's what Elvis came over his shoulder.
I got a duck face, baby.
Before I heard about like microdosing shrooms, I always assumed people who did shrooms would set aside time to do shrooms where they didn't go out of the house. Sure. You know what I mean? Like I never pictured somebody on shrooms to be out and about all that much.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. That's why I've never tried it. I'm too scared. I don't know what I don't want to unlock what is in this head.
I was 12, 13. It was fun.
And look what happened to you.
It wasn't a bad day.
Don't encourage people.
I'm not encouraging. I can't give an opinion.
252. Nobody
asked. Good people on both sides.
252 WCMF. Again, story, the Border Patrol up near I believe it was the Peace Bridge. They said over the last couple
Perfect
of weeks.
Perfect bridge.
15 different shipments, an estimated $165,000 worth of shrooms in chocolate have come over the border.
Happy candy.
Thinking out loud, is this because the legalization of marijuana in New York is other people are trying to make money with other drugs? Mm-hmm. Let's talk to Will. Hey, Willie. How are you, brother?
Hi, I'm Pat Duffy, and I'm scared to eat a little bit of magic mushroom because my dad was a cop, and I'm a little bitch.
It has nothing to do with cop. Bro, I have to be alone with my thoughts when I'm not inebriated. I don't want to know what's going to happen with the shrooms, Will.
Probably wouldn't be a good thing.
Will, are you a guy that does this?
No, and this is a reflection of the pussification of America and the legalization of drugs, and we're allowing things like this to just become normal and microdosing. And I smoke pot, and I'm an advocate for weed, but this is not a good idea because we already have a hard enough time driving as it is. So let's just let somebody eat some mushrooms on a
Wait a minute, time out. Hold on, hold on.
Voice, Pat, and then have that take time ready out. To go.
That
after.
Was the bitch. That was the bitchiest bitch. And Will, I mean, you're being a massive hypocrite. Now, I understand what
no,
you're saying.
No, he's not a hypocrite.
From.
He got his drug, so he's fine.
But, okay, here's what
I mean, people would say the same thing about marijuana, though. Will.
They do. They yeah. do say
I mean,
the same thing.
Like, that's a lot of people's fear with pot. Like, I know you're cool with it, but that what would you say to people that say the same thing about people who use marijuana?
That marijuana is literally a plant and
not like a mushroom.
Mushroom is not a plant, it's a fungus.
Okay. Okay. Well, this is the most I want to be cool, but I'm secretly a young old man bitch ass take I've ever heard in my life.
That makes no sense, but okay.
All right.
Well, I got my working man weed. That's the way it is. So.
I want to get inebriated in my way, but if you want to do it in your way, I disagree with that. The South's going to do it again. Will, thanks for the call, buddy. Have a good rest of the day. Boy, I just want to make sure we're all on the same page here.
I didn't see the call going that way.
He called me to bitch voice me because I've never done shrooms.
Mm. Yep.
He then admits he's never done shrooms, follows that up with that he's anti-shrooms, and this is the pussification of America.
But
he smokes pot.
Mm-hmm, but he's happy it's now legal.
Yeah, but because pot is legal, which we talked about, may be causing these to come in more because people need to make money, which would be a direct result of what he got. Yeah. What the hell?
He got his drugs, so he's happy with that. And so we end it here.
Okay.
I think that's his point.
I think we should end this discussion here.
Okay.
All right. Yeah.